Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Glory to God. Yesterday when I got to work, and right when I walked into my cubicle, I had this, this wonderful moment in thought that just kind of, exploded, and it kind of goes right along with the song we just sang. And I just found myself immediately, it's almost like I didn't search for the words. I wasn't thinking. They just rumbled up out of my heart. And I said to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us. Amen. He has not given up on us. He's got purpose. He's got purpose for us, not only individually, collectively. And God has, he never gives up. Usually the issue is in our arena, our way of doing things. And I really like the song that we just sang because he is faithful. We have a lot of knowledge about God, but what God really desires is communion and fellowship. He's after a people who love him with their whole heart. They don't just proclaim it. They actually live it. And the more you live it, the more you find out that there's so much more to give of ourselves. Amen? I don't know. I can't emphasize that enough. Maybe it doesn't mean much for you, but it definitely meant a lot to me that he's not giving up on us. He's not giving up. We can be flippant and just say, well, we know that by knowledge, but it wasn't knowledge in the sense of intellect, But it definitely was that place. I mean, really seriously, what's really needed from each one of us, and I don't just mean in this room, is a true hunger and a true thirst for God. He's been, I think about this a lot. We go through everyday life basically doing the same thing every single day. Not saying it's good, not saying it's bad. I'm not even saying it's neutral or indifferent. I'm just saying that's the way we live. But in the middle of all that, do we have a mindset, a heart? Like Abraham said, he looks for a city, a people, that their only desire is to be the habitation of God. They're not worried about where their next meal is, where their next moment of pleasure is coming from, the next heartache, the next sorrow. Those are all part of the routine of everyday life. I was reading the other day about Elisha again. I take that back. I was reading it today because it's been on my mind for the last couple of weeks. One of the things about Elisha, I want to get started tonight on the Day of Atonement, but I'm just talking right now, and this was interesting. It says Elisha. He was on his way to Damascus, and he ended up. And I got the thought. I got to thinking because I, think about these things. I just think about these things, right? What was he doing in Syria? He was an Israelite. Maybe he was on vacation. Maybe they had a nice restaurant over there. We can get religious and say, oh, he went over there for purpose. But no. I mean, he was just, it's like when he was down walking with the army. And the kings didn't even know he was there. He was just you know, living life. He was doing his own thing, so to speak. But he always had an ear and an eye on God, didn't he? And you know what was interesting? And this is really why I wanted to read it, because I read it a few weeks ago, and it's kind of, you know, I never understood this for many, many years. You know when he comes to, the king of Syria was sick unto death, right? And he said, hey, I hear Elisha's in town. Go find out if I'm going to recover. Tell him to ask the Lord, will I recover? So Hazael goes down and he says, hey, and he brings him all kinds of fortune. Materialistic, right? Camels and gold and silver. I think gold and silver, but you know, there's all kinds of stuff if you go read it, all right? And he said he wanted to give it to him and he wouldn't take it, right? That's the one thing I like about Elisha. He just, it didn't matter who tried to buy him. He wasn't, you know, being bought, was he? Oh, the blessings of God. No, no, no. He stepped up above that realm, didn't he? And he said, okay, so Hazael says, well, is my Lord going to, is he going to survive? Is he going to recover? And Elisha said, now think about this. Elisha said, yeah, he's going to recover, but he began to weep, didn't he? He began to cry. And Hazael said, what's the problem? And he said, you are going to slaughter all kinds of people in Israel. And Hazael said, what do you think, I'm a dog? He said, you're going to be king over Syria. Now, Elisha could have stopped him. But instead he wept. He wept over the fact that he knew what was coming. Now here's the prophet of God, the servant of God, letting someone know the atrocities that he was going to commit and didn't stop it. And now I don't know if you know the rest of the story. He goes back. He sees his king and he said, what'd the king say? He said, you're going to recover. But the next day, what happened? I'm assuming it was Hazael. There's debate. But he took a cloth, dipped it in some water, put it on his face and killed him. Now some folks, like for me, for many years I was like, hey, wait a minute, he didn't recover. But that wasn't what the story was, right? The story was he going to recover? And the Lord said yes. But somebody interrupted the recovery, right? Then Hazael became king, and go read the rest of the story, right? Why'd you say all that? I said all that to say this, seriously. We need to have a hunger and a thirst for God that we've never had before. We walk through everyday routine life looking for our next high. Do you know, remember my message about opiates? Yesterday on my phone it popped up. Now think about this. In 2014, now I gave you the statistic for 2015, right? 33,000 people died from opiates, right? But the year before, now listen to this. This is a staggering number. 1.3 million people had to go to the emergency room because of opiates. Are you hearing what? And if you remember the message, right? What was the statement? Religion is the opiate for the people. And people, they love religion. Because you know why? It deadens the senses. And what senses does it deaden? The realm of the spirit. It makes you think you know something, and you never get hungry and thirsty for what you don't have yet. Amen. Now we sang a song tonight. I like it. Let the river flow. I didn't know any of the songs she was going to sing. And to be honest with you, I won't say it. But we need to let the river flow. Okay? If we really want what God wants. Not what we want, but what God wants. And what did it say? The affliction of the soul. And I don't know if Danielle realized I was going to do the Day of Atonement today or not, or start. And we must understand it. There's just so many things. It's going to take me like weeks to get this done, it feels like. But we just went through the messages of understanding why the trumpet's blowing. Now, if I asked the question, what day did the trumpet blow? What would you tell me for the Feast of Tabernacle? First day of the seventh month. And if I ask you, what day is the Day of Atonement, what would you tell me? It's what? I can't hear you. You're going to have to talk up because I can hear Lily more than I can hear anybody. Are you with me? It's the 10th day of the 7th month. So, there's a reason why it's the 10th day. And we can go through Scripture, and I want to look at some of these things through this study here to get you and I to understand once the trumpet is blown on the first day, the next 10 days are days of preparation for the Day of Atonement. Are you with me? Now, does anybody know what the number 10 represents? Law and order is one. Siftings, trials, tribulations. Oh, here's a good one. Responsibility. Do you remember when Jesus ascended? You know, they came and they saw him and they saw him ascend in Acts chapter 1, right? And it was written, does anybody know? How many people saw him ascend? It said above 500, didn't it? Didn't it? And Jesus told them all the exact same thing. Does anybody know what he told them? He said, go down to Jerusalem and wait till I come. Does anybody know how long they had to wait? 10 days. And after 10 days, how many people were left in the upper room? 120. How many heard it? It says above 500 not only heard it, but they saw him go up. What's your point, preacher? The point is, there was a whole lot of folks that saw and heard, but they couldn't hang around and wait until he came because they could not do what he wanted. They did what they wanted. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. And I didn't really want to start here, but and I'm going to skip out of this in a second, but turn with me real quick to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. What are the 10 days for? I have a question for you. Most of the time, not all the time anymore, but it used to be this way more than it is now. If you had bills, they were usually due when? First day of the month. And so then in the next 10 days, or 15 now if you have a mortgage, right? They'll give you 15 days to get your what? Bills in order, or your debts. In other words, what God's saying in these 10 days, things have to get law and order, right? Get in order. Are you all right? Now, verse 8 says, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna. Now, the word Smyrna, if you do a little travel through, it means myrrh. Okay? Does anybody know what myrrh means or what it represents? Bitter. Bitter. Yeah, it was also one of the spices for death, right? But it has to do with bitterness. And the reason it has to do with bitterness is because, let's read the rest of this. He says, verse 9, he says, I know thy works, tribulation, poverty, but you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say that they're Jews, or in other words, Christians, and they're not. But they are of the synagogue of who? Satan. Now, by the way, who's talking here? Jesus. But here's the verse I want to get to. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Bitterness, right? Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation for 10 days. The whole point of a gap between trumpets and the Day of Atonement is to prepare people for the Day of Atonement so that they can travel through it to come to the ingathering of what God is after. Should I say that again? The whole point of it is to bring a people to be totally prepared for the Day of Atonement. Long travel. That's almost a 2-hour drive home tonight. Are you with me? He's after something. Turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. I'm just going to kind of brush through this to start. Can I say this? I don't know if you remember when we were doing the burnt offerings. Do you remember we touched on the Day of Atonement concerning the offerings? Do you remember it? I really do believe this. If we cannot understand the pattern, we'll never walk the direction of where He wants to take us. We can get all excited that Jesus fulfilled every feast. But we, Christian church, from year 1, I'll call it, till now, have not just like the children of Israel that went into the land, we have not appropriated or fully experienced all that Jesus paid a price for. We have people running around as though they know everything. I'm a new creation. I'm a king. I'm a son of God. And that's only partially true. Because the reality is the church has not appropriated or fully experienced. How do I know that? Look in the church. We still have a lot of issues, don't we? Don't we? Yeah. And so therefore, God is bringing us through this 10-day period or this period trying to get everything out of us that is not necessary for the kingdom of God. It's a long 10 days. But you know, with God, 1,000 years is like a day. Remember this. Now, I'm not picking on Uncle Terry, but remember this. It says in Peter, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as men count slackness. Are you all right? Leviticus chapter 23. Are we all there? Here we go. Start with verse 27. Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. And it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you. Present your bodies on fire. In the outer court, remember, we all know this, right? John the Baptist baptized with what? Water. You haven't been baptized in water? You need to get baptized in water. And then he said, though, but the one that comes after this baptizes with what? The Holy Ghost and fire. Have we been baptized in water? Most of us, yes. Have we been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Most of us, yes. But we must understand that only brings us to two of the three feasts, and the third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, is marked by the very thing most people will run from. Fire. You know, today I never caught this verse before. I was reading it in Isaiah. I think it's in chapter 33. It says, the ambassadors of peace will weep. The ones that are always proclaiming peace, peace. But even Paul wrote what? Sudden destruction. And the reason for this is because He must baptize us with fire. This third feast, the offering on the Day of Atonement, has to be done with fire. How many like to sing the song, "We Are the Burning Ones"? How many like it when he said, "We're the light of the world"? But you know what it really means? It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ. It's no longer my light or what I know, but it's everything about who He is. It's no longer talk. You know, did you read your Proverbs today? The heart of the king is where? It's in the hand of the Lord. And He does what? He turns it whatever way He desires. But did you read the next verse? Every man does what? what's right in his own eyes. But the Lord does what? He weighs, watch this, what's in his hand. The heart of the king. Are you all right? And offer an offering made by fire, watch this, unto the Lord. And here's another one, watch this. And you shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it shall be that, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whosoever, or whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you, watch this, a Sabbath rest. And you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening until evening shall ye, I like that, don't you? What's it say? Celebrate. What's your point, preacher? The whole point of that, when he says it's a Sabbath and you shall do no work, it's not going to be done with a fleshly understanding of what God wants. Because we've already tried that. We still do. And it produces what? Nothing. You know, I was reading George Warnock's book, his section on the Day of Atonement. He wrote the book in 1951. You know what he said? Geez, I didn't even realize this. You know, I just read it recently. And I mean, I've said this for a long time. This is what he literally said this. It's the church that has to tell everybody how great they are. It's because nobody from the outside can see it. He wrote that in 1951. Geez, now a lot of things have changed, has it? Now we have what? And here's the cool thing about the Day of Atonement. It's the total opposite of a Pentecostal mindset where I want to be seen and heard and show everybody how great God is when really it's how great I am. Aaron had to strip all of his glorious clothes off. Right down to his naked breeches. And it was the only way he could go in. The Day of Atonement. Well, I don't like that feast. We'll never have an in-gathering if we don't. 500 saw him go up and heard. Why tell me all this, preacher? Because I'm tell you what. I'm hungry for what God's hungry for. I'm tired of putting people in the ground. I'm tired of sicknesses and disease. I'm tired of the creation groaning. Just because we have money and God blesses us and we get to enjoy everyday life, I said it on Sunday, there needs to be a groan from within inside of us. And it's easier to learn how to humble ourselves in the day of preparation. Than when the day is upon us. Are you trying to scare me, preacher? I hope so. But what I'm really trying to scare you with is the fear of the Lord. That God has a day that's both day and night. And we get to choose. Which way we will live. Are you all right? Now, it's a fire day. I like a fire day. You know what I always liked about fires? I called it magic. Because you could have this big old pile of junk, and before you know it, it disappears. Did you really hear what I said? And let's go there. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. Now, it's a fire day, right? Now, we must understand that on the Day of Atonement, the offering has to be made by fire. It has to be. There's no getting around it. I've already told you, and we'll get to it again, and I love repeating it. Everybody wants the year of Jubilee, but it only took place one day every 50 years. Now Jesus has fulfilled that year of Jubilee. But the church must experientially appropriate it. Because watch, just ask yourself this question. If we think we did, why are people still falling into sin? Houses, homes falling apart. Somebody told me a story recently how their spouse just said, "I don't have feelings for you anymore, so I'm leaving. And I know God will forgive me." Because this is what we teach. This is what we preach. Watch this. This is what we believe and live. My whole point is, we fall right back in. So truly, if the year of Jubilee had come, you could never fall back into something if you're truly free. Now, Jesus set us free and rolled back the reproach when we came out of Egypt or Adam. But there must come another cleansing. Water, and now fire. No. See, listen, he said, don't be afraid. Didn't we just read that? He said, fear not. The folks that are afraid will run from this, and they will adapt to messages and mindsets that satisfy only the thing that he's trying to burn up, the flesh. Are you with me? Now, here we go. Now, if you don't believe me, all right, let's just let the Bible do the talking. You ready? Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that's already laid. Oh, hallelujah, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made what? Manifest. In other words, we'll know, right? For, now these are choice words. It's for the day. What day? The day of the Lord. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work to let us know what it's made of. Did you hear that? I just read I don't know how it caught my eye, but a headline in an article caught my eye today, and it said, pastor and his wife thrown in jail because they were found drunk at the bar with their baby. So I had to read like just a little bit of it, you know, because that's what caught my eye. And come to find out they were former pastors and they just, you know, whatever. It didn't give detail, but I had to take the baby from them and, you know. You say, why you say all that? It's this constant, perpetual thing that God is using fire to see what we're really made of. He just puts light to it. His light. Our God is a consuming fire. That's what it says. I thought God was love. He is. His love is so hot. It just boils. Because he has a river of life in him that just, you know. We've made God so one-dimensional. Are you all right? No, I don't. We don't like, you know, we don't like fire because it hurts. It burns. It gets rid of stuff, doesn't it? Can't you preach be happy? The truth of the matter is this should make us happy that God's going to burn up everything that doesn't belong in my life so he can reveal everything that he is in our lives. Are you with me? Because come on, let's face it, we'll just keep having church and then we'll all die and our descendants will have church and they'll all die and it'll just continue and continue and continue until someone says, I've had enough. And watch, it won't be with their mouths because we have a lot of that today. I mean, I even say it sometimes, I've had enough. Are you with me? So every man's work will be tried by fire, right? Watch this. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire. What's your point, preacher? I'm telling you, the only thing that can't be destroyed is the seed. Are you with me? The only thing, and I don't want to take you over to Galatians chapter 3, where it says, and he's talking about Abraham, and he said, he didn't say many seeds. He said what? Seed. There's only one seed. Now, what is the fire for? It's to purge us, to cleanse us, to purify us. It's to get rid of us. And save the seed. So what God is trying to create is an R-Not company of hundredfolders. You know, I never realized this. You know, Sherry and I were eating lunch today, and she goes, what are you looking at? I said, I just had this thought, and I didn't really, I don't even know where it came from. And it really fit today. For me, it did. Anyway. You know, when he was 75 years old, right? And God took him on a journey. And you know how old he was when he died? He was 175. Long after the 120 statement. Do you know why he lived 100 years longer? Because God made him a hundredfolder. I don't know, it just, you know, I was just messing around, you know, and like minding my own business. And the reason is because of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, if you know the story, how this starts out, he tells the Corinthians, you know, hey, I love you, I like the testimony about you, but Chloe had given him a good report about them. But he said, there's also some problems there. There's some contentions. In other words, there wasn't unity in the house, was there? Not everybody believed everything with each other. Because some said, hey, I'm of Apollos, I'm Paul. You know, And some said, I'm Cephas, which is Peter, the healer, miracle worker. And some religious folks were saying, geez, I'm of Christ. Well, the bottom line is they weren't in cahoots together. Are you with me? And then Paul had to tell him, he said, I'm glad that, you know, other than a couple of folks, I didn't baptize any of you. Right? Verse 17 says, for Christ sent me not. Now, these are choice words I'm going to read. I want you to listen to them. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring nothing and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, I'll tell you, he's not talking about unbelievers here. He's talking about believers right now. I recently just read, I told you I was reading about the thing about fasting. The whole point of the Day of Atonement has to do with fasting, right? And I was reading this other lady who, you know what she said? She said, I don't believe God wants us to fast anymore because he would not want us to inflict pain upon ourselves. He would not want us to be tortured in any way. Guess she never read her Bible. Are you all right? Here you go. Because this is the wisdom. This is what has taken over today. Even amongst us, if we're not careful, we use reasoning, opinions, all the things that he wants to burn up. Are you ready? Well, you know, it seems to me to be a wise thing to do this. But is it a God thing? Are you all right? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I guess I'm just, you know, a preacher. Because he needed a fool. Are you with me? He called it the foolishness of preaching, didn't he? You all right? Now listen to this verse. For the Jews, the religious folks, Christians, require a sign. I need to see a miracle. And the Greeks, I call those the brain Christians. Knowledge, intellect. I've read this, so I know this. I know who I am. No, do you know who he is? Are you ready? Here we go. They seek after what? Wisdom. Seriously, how many people have we convinced? I can't even convince you guys. So wisdom won't do it. Now watch this. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews. It's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, the foolishness. Now, I really want to explain this to you, so you're going to have to listen to me. when he's talking about the cross, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's not hard. The cross. But that's only half the story. Because it takes two to become one. Two crosses to make one life, which is his life. He had a cross, and you and I have a cross. And watch this. Watch the language here. We skate right over it. Here we go. But we preach Christ crucified. It does not say we preach Jesus crucified. It says Christ crucified. This is the part. Are you ready? I don't know if I'm making any sense to you, but it's just making a lot of sense to me. This is the problem with the church. They don't believe in trials and testings and tribulations. They want everything good. So therefore, guess what? It's a stumbling block and foolishness. It's foolishness that God would want you to suffer . Are you with me? When all along he said it's the, what? Christ crucified, a head and a body. The whole point of what we're talking about in the Day of Atonement is, listen, you and I must have an experiential part of the Feast of Tabernacles or the Day of Atonement, right? And how does that get done? Afflict one's soul or death to self. Remember this? They overcame by the what? Blood of the Lamb, outer court, the word of the testimony, middle court, and they what? Love not their lives unto death, tabernacles. Can't say it again. I'll be really nice. This whole feast is marked by fire. And the whole point of the fire is barbecue you. Because God wants to burn up everything that is unnecessary for the kingdom of God. The things that are unnecessary is our own wisdom, the way we look at things, the way we think about things, the way we judge things. The way we, see, we don't get it. A false balance is an abomination. It's because, you know why? We'll put our own weights on how we think this thing should be balanced out. You know what the worst thing is? Is when Christians use the Word of God and they misappropriate where it's supposed to be weighted. Because you know why? They don't know where the puzzle piece fits in the picture of what God is really after. So therefore, can I say this? I really believe this with my whole heart. God looked down into time. I really believe this. Every single person that hears my voice, God has called them to hear an end time message. The question will you be marked for it? See, there's a difference between a calling and a choosing. We thought a calling gave us an automatic entry into what he's after. It's not so. It's really a lie. How do you know that, preacher? Because every man's work will be tried by what? Yay, hallelujah. I know we don't like it, but I'm going to tell you what. Seriously. There's a reason why they blew trumpets. There's a reason why Jesus said, go down there and wait for me. He said, I'm going to show up. I'm coming. Well, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. I don't care. They say it for the next 10,000 years. He's coming. And the first place he's coming is in a people. How do you know that? He says he's bringing them with him. Well, where do you think he is? He's inside of us. He just needs to grow up into the fullness. We've tasted and seen. The Lord is good. But I'm after fullness. Because eye hasn't even seen and ear hasn't even heard. It really hasn't even entered. But the Spirit does reveal. But the way it reveals is when we're letting Him do His thing. One thing I can tell you, you cannot produce hunger when you're full. You can't. It's impossible. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? God's after a hundredfold company. 100 percenters. Not 99.9. Hell, that's good enough. No. No such thing in God's economy. Well, it's okay if... See, that's the whole point of 10 days, right? Law and order. That's why we have a lot of messages of anti-law. Well, God did away with the law. Really? No, God fulfilled the law. Jesus walked it out. And now the church must do the exact same thing. Isn't it today's Proverbs, right? See, we don't get it, right? It's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than with a what? Contentious woman. Isn't that what it says? And it's better to live in the wilderness than with a brawling woman. Jesus is in a much better place than hanging around with a bunch of church folks fighting. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Oh, we might be able to relate to it in natural life, but we understand the reality of what he's after is a bride, right? That does what he wants. He's wanting to turn the world right side up because it's upside down. I wonder if we've lost our feeling for him. I've said this for years, right? Do we understand what uncontrolled emotions are? You can be loving someone one minute and punching them out the next. I'm not physically saying it, but you get my point. It's uncontrolled emotions. It has nothing to do with spirit. Oh, Jesus, I love you. This is what he wants to burn up on us. I think I've said this before. You ever, it's like, I'm guilty. I'm really guilty. Why did that semi have to pull out in front of me? Couldn't he just let me by him? You all know what I'm talking about, right? So you tell yourself, why get upset over it? It's no big deal, right? So, you might have that circumstance 5 times and never have a problem. Then all of a sudden, guess what? We've not come to the year of Jubilee yet, have we? You know why God does that to us? Oh, he doesn't do it. Yes, he does. Are you in his hands or aren't you? Are you in his hands or the devil's hands? I'm in his hands. And in the heart of the king is in his hand. So he does whatever he wants. See, Joseph's half-brothers never got it. The daddy picked him, ran him through the mill, just so that they, and this is the part we need to learn to save the rest. God wants to burn us up. He wants to fry our bacon so that he can use us to save the world. An overcoming company, 100%, 100-folders. Jeez, wouldn't you just love it if every kid got 100% on their test, on every test? You wouldn't come home stressed out, would you? No. And when I hear things like that, this is what I say to the Lord, do I treat you that way? Do I not give you 100%? Burn up everything in me that doesn't give it to you, God. Because I know you want to use us all. Because the church really hasn't understood its assignment. There's a first fruit company of hundredfolders that will fix the church. Right now? Seriously? If God came in this room tonight and told you I was the anointed prophet or the trumpet that he wants you to listen to, it wouldn't change your minds. Would not. So he's going to fix the church with the people. Watch this. Everybody wants the power of God. But it's going to work like this. Ananias and Sapphira. Because it'll get the attention. And remember Simeon or Simon the sorcerer? Oh, wait, he ended up blind. And that will get our, oh, God won't do that. I know he won't. Your God won't. I guarantee you he won't. But the King of Kings. Are you with me? Are you with him? He's after something. What's he after? Us. He's not interested in a tithe anymore. He's interested in the whole man. Spirit, soul, and body. The Day of Atonement is a great feast. It gives you and I opportunity to come into a place of oneness with him. No flesh work. Afflict your souls. Do you know what afflicting your soul means? Seriously? It just means humble yourself. And it had to do with fasting, right? Remember, Jesus taught us. God wants to cleanse us and purge us so that the only thing that is left is him. He wants to go into every area of our lives where we say, you can't have that part, God. Well, I'd never say that. The proof of it is we can't even shut our mouths to not give the last word. So he's after our opinions. I don't like this kind of teaching. Me neither. But I know it's to the saving of the soul. Well, I don't believe that. Jeez. It's 2017. 2,000 years since the church began. And the truth of the matter is, the only thing we have is more knowledge, which, by the way, Daniel the prophet prophesied. Didn't he? He most certainly did. The Day of Atonement is a season of cleansing and purging. The 10 days in between are days of preparation. All right? I always remember my dad had a message, and I think I've probably repeated it. Anybody ever boiled potatoes before? What comes to the top? That's why God turns the heat up. The crud comes out. Because God wants to remove the crud. Forgive the crud. Whew. So that we can be exactly what He wanted from the beginning. Remember, we're dealing with the same God that put a tree of death right in the garden of life and left man to make his own decision. Watch this, along with the Word of God. And the devil always comes to the woman, the soul realm, the mind, the will, and the emotions. This is why Jesus, see, we've not really understood this yet. You know, this is the part the church misses, okay? That in order to come into a full ingathering, Jesus had to die on the cross. And the way He had to die on the cross, He had to come to the Garden of Gethsemane. Did He not? The Day of Atonement is the Garden of Gethsemane. Why do I have to cry out if He already did it for me? Christ crucified is the message we preach. Not Jesus crucified. The whole body. If anyone loses his life, he'll do what? Find it. But if you try to do what? Hang on to it, you're going to do what? He's after something. Isn't he? You think Jesus died in vain? No way. And is any servant above his master, according to the scriptures? No way. So why would we think, now thank God, we get to be living sacrifices, but some folks die. Don't they? Literally. Lil. We'll get that feistiness motivated in the right direction. Because the violent take it by force. They go after what they want. Truth of the matter is, God loves strong-willed children. He just wants their will to be His. This is why Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thy will. Have you ever repeated that? Do you believe that? I believe we do, but ask yourself the real question. Do I really live it? Watch this, 100%. Let's stand. We'll give Lil a break. Give Mom a break. Are you all right tonight? I personally don't think it's an accident, for my life anyway, that today we started the Day of Atonement. It's a day of fire. Geez, I just don't know why I just thought of this, but even when they went up and did my heart, they didn't use the cold, they used the fire, the heat. God wants to burn the heart of everything that is out of step with Him. Amen. Now, if you say, these next few weeks are going to be like really boring and they drag me down, and, you know, I say, take a vacation, a long one, till we're done. Because the reality is this, God's going to have people. We're going to let Him burn everything up in Him that is not necessary. Watch, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So every man's work is going to be tried by fire. Because why? Because the third day offering is an offering made by fire. Yay, hallelujah. It excites me. You know, I would like to go over there and maybe we'll get there, but go home and read Malachi 3. It starts off. The whole thing is so... Jesus cleansed the temple 2 times. Most people think it's the same story. But the reality is he cleanses at the beginning. Thank you, Jesus, that let us in. But he cleanses at the end to finish the work that he started. The blood of a lamb, but watch at the end, the blood of a bullock and a goat. The only two blood that was allowed into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. Father, I don't know if I did any good. I don't know, God. You'll have to take the word. Stir up their hearts. Stir up our hearts, God. The thing that we need the most, God, is an infusion of who you are. It goes outside the borders of our minds, the concepts of what we think we know and understand. Christ crucified. So that, God, that the only thing that can stand, the only thing that can be seen, is the love of Christ. The love of God. And watch this. Manifested in whatever way, God, you choose. Seriously, I know. Can you imagine if he just marched you to be a John the Baptist to get your head cut off? Or James killed in prison? See, we all want to be Peter taken out by the light, but God tortured some people. Even Paul wrote that. He thinks that the prophets and the apostles were the least of all. And the only reason is he tried to get us to an end time so that we could truly, as a people, reverse the curse. Turn things right side up. Change things around. They were literally killed physically. We have the opportunity just to die to self. And the coolest part is, fulfill the mystery that not all shall sleep. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. I don't know about you, but will you just thank him tonight with me that he hasn't given up on us? He's not given up on us. No matter how stupid I've been, he hasn't given up on us. No matter how much I haven't sought after him and did exactly what he told me, he hasn't given up on us. And the reason is because he not only called us, but now he's marked us for the Day of Atonement. So that out of that fire, that will loose every bondage and every band, every single thing that we ever went through or might go through, that he can bring us out on the other side to be a true light. Watch this, a city, a church, a people set on a hill. Won't need to tell everybody, hey, look at the light. It says it can't be hid. There's a whole different dimension between Pentecost and Tabernacles. We have to tell people we're living epistles. Our lifestyle should just show it. Amen? Amen. And I don't mean just in part. I'm talking fullness here tonight. I'm after fullness. I won't be happy until, you know, I got it all. Even Paul declared it's just been the earnest. All we've done is gone in the land, experienced some good things, but we've never taken possession of our true inheritance. And the reason, do you know why? It's not just for the individual. It's for the corporate man. Amen? Amen. I'm sorry. I could talk all night.